Do you want your products seen by more buyers on Amazon, Etsy, and other marketplaces? Do you want to get more traffic, make more sales, and scale your brand? Welcome to the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked, where we discuss what signals are needed to send to your customers, to the algorithms, to the ad platforms, in order to get your product seen, converting, and profiting fast. With your host, former top 50 seller on all of Amazon, the Professor Howard Tai. This is the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked.
Hi guys, welcome to Signal Code Unlocked. We're here with Brandon Young, and I want to see how's Brandon. So recently, he's had some kind of a big, huge event. So I kind of want to get some feedback from Brandon on that side.
Howard Baldwin, great to see you guys, man. Thanks for having me. The dynamic duo.
Great to have you here.
So can you tell us, I've created events myself, usually like masterminds, 50 plus a little bit. So I wanted to see how long and how hard did it take for you to create your Cap Ecom?
Yeah, we started probably 7 or 8 months out and we hired an event manager. She started to put together some of the pieces, but it was a little slow going with getting a lot of the costs nailed down, signing contracts with the venue. We you know, there's just so many moving parts to a large event because we originally wanted to make sure that we had at least two tracks. The thesis for the event was just that we understand that most people go to events to network, that the people speaking at them don't add a lot of value. You know that. So like you put together events with high level, you know, masterminding with networking. And so the idea for us was to do like high level workshopping with masterminding and just be a little bit different than the other types of events that are already out there and doing what they do. So, I mean, Prosper is a great show. There's already that. Innovate's a great show. There's already that, right? So I didn't want to make another show like that. I wanted to make sure it's interactive. And we also have that networking element. And so with the thesis that we knew smaller sellers need something different than larger sellers need, and we know what the challenges of scaling a team and business management and going to 50 million look like, we wanted to make sure that we catered to that audience, that we taught business management practices, growing a team, interviewing, hiring, training, giving clear path of progression for employees. Just really how to scale on one side, and on the other side, just have Amazon tactical really being taught. And so that was the thesis of it. We didn't know if we could get 200 people there or, you know, 500 people there, the inner circle being 1,000 members, but half of our audience being international. And then, you know, given that, you know, for masterclasses, we get hundreds of people. So we just went out and, you know, got an event manager, started putting all the pieces together, and I didn't know what I didn't know. And I was relying on an expert, and like time went by. I wasn't getting the answers I wanted. We ended up having to move on from that event manager. We found someone else to come in that is much, you know, more on top of things and was able to really pull it together. So that's one of the reasons we didn't announce it until 11 weeks out. And that was one of the challenges. Like we didn't give a lot of people opportunity to travel from international. Flights had already gotten pretty expensive. And we were very lucky. We had a lot of last minute signups. We ended up hitting almost 250 people, which was kind of the minimum number that I wanted to hit to make sure the event went off without us losing too much money.
You know, I was looking at your event and it was like pretty crazy. I was really sad that I couldn't be there. I was like, dang, it would have been cool if I was at the event. I saw these fireplaces and like not just one, like a lot of them. It's like, you know, it goes with the theme, right? Can't be con, right? So I see a lot of things that you put into it, and that drone that was flying, capturing those videos. Those are cool too. My last event was for the mastermind, the Lead Seller Society. We had it on the castle in Paris. So
I saw the castle shots, man, and that looked epic. It looked pretty ridiculous. I saw people dressed up in tuxedos and really, really living up the royal theme of it. It looked awesome.
So we had like a DJ too as well. In there, inside the castle, you know, this castle is like, I don't remember, but do you remember what it's like, the 1600 or 1500s? Do you remember? Yeah. But it was good.
Yeah, it's old.
Old.
My wife did the whole like history tour thing, so she would know. But
hundreds of years old, a big, big castle. Yeah.
So one of the kings used it as a hunting lodge, and it was actually owned by the royal family. So it's pretty crazy knowing all that history. And in there's two castles, actually. So then we were living in one of the castle, and the other castle, we were actually holding the mastermind. So so we get to experience both castles.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I think that, you know, we really wanted to go with the theme. My designer for my team is off the charts. She was able to really design everything and bring the branding together for the event. We really wanted to do as many things on theme as possible. So campfire, networking, s'mores, the food, the events, the fun stuff, like the pins that you could earn by doing different tasks, by learning different things, by completing different, you know, exercises, playing different games. Like all these pins look like Boy Scout badges, and that you could pin on yourself, and then you could win prizes for having a certain number of pins. And so we really went all in on the theme, and I think it really pulled together really well.
You know, that's why I heard about those pins and stuff. I was thinking the amount of thought into it to create the experience. It's more of the experience, like you said, right? Sometimes not about what you do there, who's speaking. Because, like, if you think about it, like, it's an emotional bond with a particular event. Like Prosper, you know, I actually don't go to the people where they speak, and I just kind of go into the halls and just kind of mingle with people and talk with the friends and stuff like that. And then of course your parties and after party of other people's parties. So that's why we go, right? Not because of the event sometimes, but for yours, of course, it's like higher level and everyone wants to go to like learn something that they don't know, you know, things that they don't know.
Yeah. So the other unique part about it is that we did a lot of breakout sessions. So it wasn't just like learning from stage and not just interactive from stage. What I did is I had 180 people in my room, for example, and we had 18 tables. And so each person had a different table number and across like 8 different breakout sessions. And so we tried not to match people together more than once, but it's, you know, it was kind of hard. So a couple people did get matched more than once. But for the most part, you would sit around with up to 9 different people each time. And then you would be actually doing the exercise that you just learned. For one of the examples, they were doing a brief design brief for what they would tell a designer to improve the images and some content, for example. And so we were actually teaching how to do that. And then they would break out and do it as a group. And the team that created the best brief actually won a prize. All 10 people at the table won gift cards or won prizes. And so for each breakout, we also, you know, because we know how competitive entrepreneurs are as well. So this gives you an opportunity to not just learn, but to do while you're there. And then we found that a lot of the larger sellers and a lot of the larger companies brought employees because they wanted them to get the actionable, you know, workshopping. But what ended up happening is that a lot of this became like a team building exercise too. So a lot of them during the parties were really loosening up, getting to know each other for the first time. This is the first time many of them met each other off of Zoom, even though they've been working in the same company for years. So, and as a matter of fact, a lot of my team coming together for the first time. I had team members from South America, from Central America, from Romania, from Australia, from Toronto, from, you know, New York, everyone coming together for the first time.
Did you pair, like, if a company brought in multiple people, did you pair them together, or were they working as a team?
It was all random. So they could have been together at one table or not. But we didn't purposely like break up or put together team members. We wanted everyone to get their own experience out of it. Yeah. Next year, we've already decided we're going to do a third track. So day 2 was all like marketing launches and PPC. And so we've already decided that we want to do a beginner track, which is going to be mostly focused on getting started the business of Amazon product development and, you know, the finances of it. Product validation, keyword research, sourcing logistics, things like that. That'll be 2 days of that on one side. And then on the other side, we're going to pretty much just do 2 days of launches and marketing. And it'll be 2 intense days of digging into spreadsheets and understanding PPC at a high level, different types of campaigns, ad placements, you know, being purposeful with your ad spend, pushing keyword ranks, growth, things like that. And then on the other side, we'll still do the business management training. I think that the feedback there was good. They want more breakouts on the business management side. And some people, and one of the feedback that we got from there was, the first day, Jennifer, who's leading that side, my wife, she hands them like this worksheet. It's like, all right, give me your numbers that you guys did last year and then what your goal for this year is. This is stuff that like a lot of people were like, man, I wish I had prepared this in advance because like I want to look up some things. I want to really give this some deeper thought. And, you know, she's given them a half hour, 45 minutes to do it, but this is something that might take a couple of hours. So in advance next year, we're going to give homework. We're going to have people come prepared to bring some of these annual planning, quarterly planning stuff, events and worksheets to the session so that they can be reviewed as groups, discussed as groups, and people can get aligned on what levers they're pulling and how they're going to pull them.
So we're actually doing like maybe 4 different kind of events. One of them is like a course that we're going to come out with maybe at the end of February 29th or something like that. 28th. I'm sorry. There's no 29th. But, and then we're going to have a workshop, right? In March of 29 to 30, one-on-one. So we're going to have people come in from, it's going to be small, like 50 people or something like how we usually do it. So we're going to come in, and then before they come in, we're going to do their audit of their ASINs or their account. And then we go in and then we're going to deep dive. By the time they get there, we'll have like most of the things that the audit's done and all the suggestions and stuff like that.
That's great.
So then we're trying to help bring out the best, trying to get them to really grow as well. So we have like this, so it's going to be like it's called the Professor's MBA One-on-One Workshop. So they're going to come into our office and then they're going to see what we do with our teams and stuff. So that's going to be something like interesting to see since it's the first time doing it one-on-one like this. So I'm interested to see how it comes out. So we're still planning it and everything. But
what's amazing about that is that, you know, it's the innovation of what you're doing, right? Like you see that there's a need for stuff like this, that people do, they're hungry for it. They need extra guidance. They want more help. They want more specialized help. They want more specific and measurable help. And so it's guys like you out there and like we're trying to provide to the sellers to really help them scale. There's enough of that content that's just so generic that's, you know, this is what's kind of working. Good luck, go figure it out. That's not enough anymore, right? Like, you know, I was making jokes about it with a buddy. We, you know, Innovate's probably one of the better events out there because of the high level sellers that are actually speaking, right? Like most of the MDS guys, a lot of other guys. But, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this in the wrong way, but one guy was up there for like 45 minutes telling his story about how he's, you know, sold over $100 million on Amazon. And it was like, well, can you give us some specifics as to how you did that or your backstory? And it's like, well, I was poor, but then I learned yoga. And I was like, what is this? Like, what is this? Like, how are we even going to use this? You know, this isn't like I did A, B, C, D. Right. Like I read this book. I started doing these things. I started enacting these specific and measurable practices or these leading actions. It was no, I put it out in the universe and now I'm rich.
I was there too. So I think that was the supplement.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
And we all know like how most supplement sellers are successful. It's probably not by being TOS compliant. So it was probably yoga plus black hat and now I'm rich.
We also have like two other things that, okay. So the one-on-one workshop is actually part of the Elite Seller Society, but we're actually having the real mastermind, the ESS 2023 in September. So I believe it's September 5th to 6th, right, Bowen?
Don't quote me on that. We talked about this last night.
That should be like, I don't know if they're doing Sell and Scale again this year. Last year, Sell and Scale was like the week of my birthday, the 22nd of September. Did they announce their dates again?
No, I've been trying to. That's why I was asking a lot of friends on our Facebook saying, hey, you guys know any other events that's coming up? You know, so I know that we're not like kind of like yeah. At the same time and stuff, which that would suck. So yeah, so and then that's something that I kind of,
we're gonna stick to January for sure. I think January, Orlando, kicking off the year, the whole theme is like annual planning, training, you know, really like launching your year, because a lot of people are so busy with Q4 that you've got your heads down working in the weeds, and then everyone decompresses, the team takes time off, that by the time you come back, like you're kind of really ready to start working. So the goal is, I made people work for 8 long hours. I mean, maybe 7, 6.5 with breaks and lunches and stuff. But we had people working hard every day and it was really intense. But that's why we let loose and we do the networking and stuff after, because, you know, I want people to go there to work, right? Like that's the whole purpose.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's a great idea to have it, to have everyone come to your event in January. So, you know, the end of the year, beginning of the year, like you said, like, wow, everyone's all pumped to learn, to do something, to grow and pass their last year's level. You know,
it's hopefully they stick to it, right? I'm actually late. I got food poisoning last week and this week, and I was supposed to send out the slides. So my team is putting those out today. So everyone's going to be a little upset because it's already like 10 days after the event and the slides still aren't out, but we're providing the slides for everyone. What's your event in September going to be, in the end of September?
I think it's beginning of September, and we're trying to most likely do it in LA. It's kind of hard. I've been thinking it's kind of hard to beat the castle event. So like everyone's like, how are you gonna one up this time? Oh shoot, I have a lot of pressure in that. So I'm like, I'll go back to my hometown, right? So LA, and see what we can do over there.
You gotta rent the mansion of a movie star or something, right?
I don't know, I guess so, to impress someone. have the mastermind on top of the Hollywood sign or something.
Yeah, on top of it.
Yeah. So there's another kind of question that I wanted to ask you. Like, I heard about the, you know, during your event, I think you announced it, where from Helium 10, you were moving to Jungle Scout, right? Are you doing it both? Or are you still doing it both? Or are you just really moving over to their API?
Yeah. So when we built Data Dive, it was really just an interpretation of data in a way that works with our methodology. So it was down, like the user has a Helium 10 account. We would pull the data from their Helium 10 account and then spit it out in the way with our algorithms and with our relevancy and with our master keyword list. And then that data, then we could use for our listing builder and for the PPC tools that we have. And so we wanted to work with Helium 10 for a long time. We were trying to work out a deal with them, with maybe a smaller type of account we could partner with, doing some content together. We'd been work partners with them a long time. I'm one of their largest affiliates, but it just wasn't in their path to do that, or like what they were looking to do at the time. And so we, in order for us to grow, we kind of needed to go independent. And we've, you know, so We looked at options for either scraping our own data. We looked at maybe 10 other companies that provide data sources, because we wanted to really unhinge and not require our users to have another software, right? So if they want to have Helium 10 for whatever tools they have that we're never going to build, that's great. If they want to have any other software, that's great. But we want people to be able to use Data Dive independent of any other software. So that was kind of our goal. And so for the last couple of months, we had been working on a relationship with Jungle Scout, who's been in the industry forever, right? Like they were the first one to really start scraping Amazon and provide this type of data. And over the last 2 years, Greg took on a huge investment, small exit, and a huge investment into the company. And he's the original founder. And they've spent over $1 million. I know that the investment is in the millions on their data. And when we benchmarked that data against the search query performance and the brand registry data that you get, like we actually found that it was the most accurate data of all the sources that we had audited. And so we decided to enter into a partnership with them. So now when you use Data Dive, the data that you're getting is powered by Jungle Scout.
So is this actually API for, I guess they call it Orange, or is it API for Cobalt side?
Yeah, it's the cobalt side. So the orange product is interesting. I think the orange product was slightly different data when we audited the two. And the cobalt data was their wholesale API side, which I think is where they've made the majority of their investment. But I think that they're kind of bringing everything together at some point, or the data is going to be uniform. And from my understanding, I can't speak to that. But yeah, it's more on the wholesale side that we're taking the data and then able to display it. And then this now allows us to continue with the development of the PPC tools that we're building. We're going to have rules-based PPC. We're going to have dashboards, business reporting, and all of that in the works over the next few months.
Yeah, I've been in Cobalt for like years. I've been looking at also Jungle Scout is Cobalt is displaying the data compared to Helium 10's market analysis 360. Is it called, Bourne?
Yeah, it's the Helium 10 360, right?
Helium 10 market 360 or market analysis 360. And I feel like I think both, right? Bourne has API. I believe
there's limitations to Helium 10's API. But Jungle Scout.
Yeah, well, it wasn't as developed as it needed to be for us to work with it, unfortunately.
Yeah, for sure. Like they have the, what was that? Which part was it? Cobros API for getting the data, right? Yeah. So they don't really, it's kind of, and it's not all of it too. It's not like how you see it with the bulk side, but you can kind of do it. But so we were comparing, okay, the Jungle Scouts Cobalt with Helium 10's market analysis 360, and we saw there was some kind of differences. Bon, maybe you want to see what you saw in it.
I believe that, you know, the data, the dashboards, we felt that Helium 10's dashboard was actually a little more intuitive to use as like user-friendly wise.
UI, UX?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there is some things that Helium 10 was missing that Cobalt did have.
Yeah, we found the same. We're going to do our own UI, UX. Obviously, this is just the bulk data, and then we allow our users to input, and then we do the calls, and then we display it in our own way. We're doing dynamic dashboards that are going to be basically customized towards the role of the person in the company. So we're really thinking large organization and enterprise for what we're doing. We understand that as a solopreneur starting the business, there's still an org chart and you're sitting in all those seats. So you kind of need that 360 view. But once you start to grow, you're going to have people you start planting into those seats in your company. And those people need to have a specific view and they need to be looking at specific things. So that's why we built out that organization management, the team management and the project management tools into DataDive as well. And so the dashboard that we're going to give you is going to be fully customizable and dynamic.
Well, you know, I see a lack in these tools, maybe because I'm not sure how much like high level sellers are in there creating it, but I can see that your side, where you're a seller, and on our side, we kind of know like exactly what people need more. And a lot of tools have these things I call like just noise, right? So you could just, some tools we want to build as well to make sure that's less noisy and to the point. So for Helium 10, they did a really good job on their UI UX and they had like a survey. They surveyed a bunch of people to like kind of go through it and see if what parts are improvement and stuff. But for Jungle Scout, I think it's just kind of harder to use than it. But don't get me wrong, Bon.
Yeah, I know. I know from speaking to them that they've made a couple large investments into some new roles for their product development. And this is like a newer thing. The first was like the last, like I said, year and a half, they've been investing in the data. And now they're investing in the product side themselves as well. So it's really interesting because the mindset from them is that, you know, we can achieve more. Like we're going in a specific direction. We're going to have some overlap with them, but we can still market each other and we can still, like, there's going to be users that want both. There's going to be users that want just us or just them. And so like, we're more than happy to continue to help them on the product dev side. And they're more than happy to help us continue to grow in the direction that we're going. So It's just an abundance mentality versus like wanting to be everyone to everything and everyone as a competitor that, you know, some of the tools have.
So I think for my side, Jungle Scout is kind of has more functionality or more reporting than Helium 10. I would say 80% of the things that Jungle Scout Cobalt has, the Marketplace 360 has it, and very easier to understand it.
Yeah, once they clean it up, I think it's going to be a good tool, though.
Yeah, we'll see how that looks like. I'm really
we're hoping to serve that need also, though, because we're adding keyword tracking, we're adding we know the functionality that's going to be what users need the most of, right? It's like tracking your keywords, seeing profitability, understanding performance reporting. Those are the next steps for us, and then we're going to start allowing people to pull more and more levers with automations and with rules for the PPC so that you can get granular, as granular as you want, not just from an ASIN level, but also from even a root keyword level and at a keyword level.
So what I'm hearing is, you know, we have orange, we have cobalt blue, and then I think, am I hearing a seller systems yellow?
I guess it kind of goes all together, right? It's more of a data dive, whatever that color would be, right? Data dive blue.
Bon, I think you have some other questions that you wanted to ask. Actually, did you ever, is there anything else you want to ask, Bon?
No, I think we covered it. I did have a question regarding like some of the new reports. So one of the things that I hear a lot is, you know, use search query performance reports, use this, use that, but no one really explains exactly how to granulate the data. We've pulled some stuff together, like we can analyze your brand performance using the search query performance. I'm just wondering how your like seller systems, like the people in the circle, what are you guys using the search query performance for?
So, I mean, when you're looking at the fringes of SQD, like you're really getting some really powerful insights, because we always find that the power is in the long tail keywords. So there are limitations though. So brand purchases, the data doesn't go as far back as you'd like it to go, if I remember correctly, right? It's pretty recent. So like if you download your data right now, I think you can only go back a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can only do one export per brand, right? Like you have to combine them or mash them together if you want to do more than that. But we really have some really unique ways that we think we're going to be able to display that data, but not only display the data, but give actionable recommendations to the users from that data. As Amazon continues to give us more and more, we're really excited about the direction we're going. I can't really speak too much to it. A lot of it is in dev now, but I'm excited. I think that the passing of that law in Europe, or like the ruling in Europe, which really stated that Amazon brand managers on the 1P side can't use data that isn't available to everyone, I think that's going to have a trickling effect into more sellers getting more data. And so as we, like, whether it's Cobalt or wherever else you're getting your data, Helium 10 or whatever, if you're supplementing it with Amazon and then you're mashing it together in a way that really, it's going to just continuously make it more accurate, more actionable, and better and better. But we're definitely looking at brand registry data, SQD, and stuff like that.
So how about this new AI stuff that's coming out? You know, what do you see that Amazon side for Amazon sellers?
I see you guys just released something on that end.
Oh, yeah, we did. It's like the 1.3 version now. Thank you. We're just still in fine tuning it, making it like better and better. But it is something that we're working on to improve. As well as, I mean, it's pretty good. It's getting better and better each time iteration we have. So we just want to let people like try it out. What do they think, you know? And it's great with the data dive, right? Since you have the keywords, you just plug it in. We have it up to 5 keywords now that you can plug in, and more details structure wise. And you can have your specs in there too, and then it'll output it. So it's not going to be garbage where it's like doesn't know what kind of product info it is, what kind of product it is, and then it's just gonna spit out like random stuff from the internet.
No, I think that there's an opportunity there to really do something. I think Zonguru just announced that they're doing something with AI data as well. Like they announced it, and then you announced it like within a day of each other, and then we were experimenting with it. We had a beta version of an AI listing builder in our listing builder a few months ago, where you could click a button and it would try to pull the data, like the keywords, and then write. The first version, I just wanted it to populate keywords into the right field. So title, bullets, description, based on priority, but also maximizing ranking juice. And so now with the most recent view, I announced at Camp Ecom, I probably didn't get out because no one was recording, but I announced at Camp Ecom that the goal is within the next quarter to release a full AI builder within our listing builder, which would basically hit the button and maximize ranking juice and then go from there, like just as a starting point.
That's pretty cool. We right now for the AI side, we have like, I'm not sure if you know, there is that listing builder or the listing optimization tool that we have. Also, the second one is heat mapping that we have.
And I saw you post some things on that. I haven't looked at it.
Oh, it's pretty cool. And then we have the A-B testing, instant A-B testing for tube images.
So what's your audience that you're pulling from, or how are you doing that?
Maybe Bowen can kind of talk about that part.
It's actually, so it stems from our heat mapping. So heat mapping... Awesome. There's a couple studies from MIT, how they track what they call saliency. And it's just like mimicking what people will see in terms of what captures their attention. So from heat mapping, the AI, it's all AI based, capturing what is likely to draw people's attention. We'll do A-B testings using AI also to compare two different images or two different creatives to determine which one's the best one. There's also a test called like a cognitive recognition. So it's basically what you remember after the images are gone. So if a customer is like shopping around, which image is actually sticks in their mind when they think about the product? So it's really cool stuff.
That's awesome. How many case studies have you guys been able to put together with like seeing a lift in conversion and stuff like from the A-B testing on the cognitive side?
Well, we would like to have more people to test our stuff. It's
everything. The listeners on this need to get on that. Reach. that sounds like it could be super powerful. Like you basically let AI tell you which image you should use. And then it's very easy to test. Once you flip an image, like you can see a lift on your, you know, CVR.
Yeah.
I mean, like if you think about it, I'm not saying any other tools, but let's just say Amazon's A-B testing. It will take about like what, 8 weeks, 10 weeks to get some kind of results. One.
Yeah. That one's pretty slow. The one that Amazon does is pretty slow. There are audience-based ones out there. It depends on like who the audience is and how you can filter and do those demos. You know, obviously, like I think that if you're coming up with something new in that space, where you win on Amazon is by having better content, right? And I think that any new tool that anyone can get access to, if there's even a 0.5% lift, is worth the investment immediately.
So we're working on a couple other things. I believe there was something. Let me see. Hold on. Well, let me go back. There's this. We have also a PPC tool, right? The AI PPC tool that we have. So that's something that I've been working on a long time. If you notice, our whole concept was about .AI, right? Because we've been doing this for a long time, where we've been investing in AI for a while. So this is not like the first time where, oh, hey, we're doing AI because of the fad or something. I think it was like since 2019, when we started the company, it's always been .AI. So you can kind of see where how far are we now? And, you know, honestly, like what we're working on is where we get enough data coming into our system and enough data points where we can see what Amazon's AI is requesting, what kind of traffic source, what kind of feed that we need in order for us to be able to give the Amazon the correct signal to so that then we can be able to rank. So that's where we're heading towards. If anyone knows out, that's really powerful. You know, Amazon always changes. And so if we change with them, then that's the best. So we don't even have to think about strategies. Let the AI do it, their job. So it's about Amazon AI against our AI kind of thing, you know. So it's like a fight, seeing, you know, just like right now.
Well, you want them to be harmonious, right? You want them to be working together, right?
Well, you know, Amazon doesn't always want to make it so that's not easy to detect what they really want, right? So, but of course, we want to play with the Amazon as well.
I guess the hardest part for the AI side is just the massive amounts of data required, right? Like our goal ultimately with our PPC is going to be, you know, complete ML and you know, automation, right? But in order to really do that, you need tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of, you know, of accounts with, you know, running each of them running hundreds and hundreds of campaigns and constantly being able to see every action and reaction across, you know, hundreds of thousands of data points. And so the amount of data you actually need so that the machine can really stop being dumb is quite a bit. And that's the challenge when you have a startup like ours, you know, with even with 2000 users, you know, and our goal is to, you know, almost 10x that in the next 18 to 24 months. I think that we still might not have enough users to really have our machine be smart enough to really let loose, you know?
Yeah. Vaughn, is there anything you want to say?
I think the hard part is, like, later on, if we have Google's doing this right now, where they're detecting what is AI written content. So they like de-rank like blogs, or they find out, like, because I think it stemmed from, I could be wrong, but Jasper was really kind of the first one to do it and everyone started using it. Google detects it. The problem is when Amazon starts detecting listings written by AI, and I truly believe this is the future. Right now, if you've ever used or if you played with OpenAI's ChatGPT, you know how easy it is to just write content. When Amazon tries to figure out, hey, how do we detect whether listings are written by AI, or maybe they don't care.
Yeah, that's a possibility, right? Like, they just want, as long as it's benefiting the user experience, they probably won't care, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that, because Amazon wants to get indexed onto Google. So when Google is saying, hey, no AI, well, it's not saying no AI. It has to be like authentic, like to a point where it's like 40% passes their check. So there is like software out there and API as well to clean and wash these listings from it being detected as AI. So if you or me write something, most likely the AI detector will still give you like a 30 or 40% thinking that you're a machine that wrote it, but it's not the best, but it's going to be more better and better. But then also there is other counter measure where these apps that will actually paraphrase or rewrite your article or your listings and make it more non-AI. So yeah.
The danger of that, though, is that you're going to end up having it change keywords and keyword phrases that you need to have in exact form. When they start mixing up like the way that the order of the words, now you're getting less credit for ranking.
Yeah, that's what we're working on right now. So we're working on making sure that it's not detectable being as an AI, because that's the future. This is going to happen. And
it might be that even just using our data set, because it's so accurate, and writing your own listing, no matter what, just because you have the keywords in the right spot, they might think it's AI, right? Like you're saying, instead of 30, it might be 70, just because it's like, how did they know to put those exact keywords in the title, those exact keywords in the bullets, those exact keywords in the back end, right?
Yeah, we'll see. So, Juan, anything else on your side?
That's it from my side.
Is there anything you want to say, Brandon, before we close off here?
I'm looking forward to a great 2023, guys. I know that we're going to see each other in many different cities throughout the year this year. You travel more than anyone else I know, and it happens that most of the time when I arrive in a city, you happen to be there. So I'm excited to hang out.
Because I'm a fan, right? I go wherever the golfing is.
That's what it is. No, I think no matter where there's an event, a mastermind, any excuse to meet some other sellers, like you're really good about that and you do a great job. So I'll see you. I don't know if you're going to Mexico next month or I'm sure I'm going to see you in Prosper. I'll be doing the Topgolf party Monday night. I'll get you a code to send out to your people. And then I don't know what's happening in April. April, I think we're going to go to China. Are you planning to go back to China this year?
Exactly. Actually, I've been asking around to see what events are out. There's like a spot in between that I could go back to China. It's from April, May. So April and May, I think, is slower in the event space. So that's where I'm going to go at least for 2 months to go back. And I have a team in China. I have a team in China, and I want to see them and, you know.
I'm hoping to go to Tokyo because I think Gary Wong is doing an event in Tokyo beginning of April. And then there's Canton.
I heard that. I heard
the Jennifer Japan needs to get a visa from mainland. So I think we need to go to China mainland, go get her visa, and then we can go to Tokyo. But neither of us have been to Japan, and we really want to do that. It's cherry blossom season.
You never been to Japan?
We've never been. No, we haven't been to Europe either. We were planning to go to both of those in 2020. Which obviously got cut short. So we'll do Europe this year for sure. So we got to probably put our heads together as to what's happening in Europe. There's always some great masterminds and things going on there. A lot of great sellers. But we're planning on hitting Europe. When is Seller Sessions live? I know that Danny's always doing something great.
I'm not sure. I thought it was May. I think it was May.
So maybe that's in May. So it's first half of the year, guys. We've already named like six different things we want to do in eight different countries, I think. So we have to get on it, start booking flights. We're going to get all those American Airlines miles.
Yeah, I'm going to be speaking at the Mexico trip. So I'll be there.
Yeah, so I'll see you in February at the Mexico trip. So I'll see you in Mexico, and then I'll see you in Prosper in Vegas.
For sure. Okay, thank you very much for coming on.
Good to see you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Brady. Bye.
Do you want your products seen by more buyers on Amazon, Etsy, and other marketplaces? Do you want to get more traffic, make more sales, and scale your brand? Welcome to the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked, where we discuss what signals are needed to send to your customers, to the algorithms, to the ad platforms, in order to get your product seen, converting, and profiting fast. With your host, former top 50 seller on all of Amazon, the Professor Howard Tai. This is the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked.